Let me preface this. I'm assuming if you're here, you know what's going on, but if not, after a three-year search for our next director, full-time director of music at TCPC, we have officially offered, and Stephen has officially accepted that call. We could not be more excited. When I say we, here's who I'm including. I'm including unanimously the pastors, unanimously the staff committee, which was charged to hire, unanimously our music leadership. So that would be Chelsea, Deb, Suzanne, and Jane. Had plenty of time to not only work with Stephen, but get to know him, and could not be more excited, and unanimous support from your session. You know that we're Presbyterian, and so the only hire that the congregation makes is the senior pastor or voting for the elders to represent you on the session. And I know that that takes a lot of trust in the leadership. What you need to know is that your leadership is completely unified and excited about this decision. And I thought it'd be important. Now, Stephen, timetable-wise, I said in my communication that over the next couple months, Stephen will be in and out with us. He is finishing up his responsibilities at his current church. His lovely wife, Deborah. Deborah, can you stand? I know you don't like the attention. This is why we hired Stephen. Deborah's amazing, and I cannot wait for you to get to know her. She's an amazing soul. But she's a teacher and wants to finish out her commitment academically at her school. And so they will be here full-time, ready to go in June. And we will find a time to, in a more celebratory way than sitting up here in Sunday school class, welcome you all. We'll have fun with it. But I thought while he's here, it'd be good, since we just announced it, to have just a Q&A time with him before our community. And so, Stephen, let me just start off with the basics. Tell us about you, your story, and include your wife in that.
I should include her, should I?
Yes, that would be good.
I grew up on the East Coast in New York and Jersey. I went to the D.C. area, University of Maryland, for my schooling. Back to New York for some graduate work that I did not complete. And then moved to Texas, where I served at a large church in north of Dallas called Stonebriar Community Church. From there, the Lord took me on a bit of a prodigal journey. I was living a life that no one knew about and was lying to everybody, standing up on Sunday morning, being one person and being another person during the week. And the Lord brought me all the way downtown, figuratively, and went to counseling, moved out to California, began life over again, and through different ups and downs, he has brought me to Chicago, where I led a relatively quiet beginning of my life out there as a professional musician, living in a pastor's basement, trying to make ends meet, ended up working part-time at a church in the city called Holy Trinity Church, which is a plant of College Church in Wheaton, and met a girl on a devastatingly terrible softball team. We were so bad that the games were mercy rule by third inning. So subsequently, we had a large crowd of people to come watch us play because they knew they could watch a game of softball, go have a bite to eat, and be in bed by 8:30 on a Monday. So, I mean, the refs were blown away. We had like 30 people watching us just get annihilated by like the 65 and over team. And Deborah came with her with one of her girlfriends, and like every ball we hit or tried to catch, it went astray. And she happened to be sitting on a nearby bench. And the first girl in my life I've ever just walked up to and introduced myself, I couldn't help myself, and realized that if I was going to marry her, I needed to make more than $5,000 a year. So fortunately, a job opened up in the suburb of Downers Grove, where I accepted a music director position, married Deborah, and served at that church for about 7 years. In the spring of 17, we accepted a position at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Elgin, where we have been serving ever since. Deborah is a high school English teacher. I am the director of music. So there we are. We have no kids, but we have a dog, a boxer mastiff. Looks the part, dumb as a box of rocks, but looks the part. Looking forward to letting him run around here and get some fresh Kentucky air. How about that?
Great. Now, even just in that, if you saw my communication, what we talked about in prioritizing this this hire, first was character and godliness. Second was his ability to fit with the overall culture of our team and church. And even in that answer, you see what we saw in him immediately, which is his immediately jumping into his story and being honest with his story and the brokenness and his struggles and God's redemption in his life. The first time I talked to him, he said, "Hey, I want to tell you my story." And was incredibly honest with the story. And God has done an amazing work in his life. And when he comes here and stuff, look forward to him even being more honest and open about what the Lord has done in his repentance and the character of repentance that you see in him. And then he's just one snarky comment after another, and he makes us laugh, and so that's a plus too. And then the musical skills too, you know, it goes without saying, very impressive. Take us through, they've heard from me kind of our journey. We all are familiar with our journey of toward you. Take us through the journey of you accepting this call. Why are you sitting right here at TCPC ready to move your family?
Well, we were incredibly happy, and I mean, we are happy in Elgin, Illinois, serving under great leadership, great preaching, fun music, good church community, church family. And I initially declined Robert's offer to be considered here because we didn't really have a need. I hadn't been down here to see, so it was something that we weren't interested in pursuing because of how happy we were. And early this fall, it became clear that the financial outlook at Westminster is challenging right now, not to any mismanagement or impropriety, but just lack of giving. And so we decided that if Robert called back, we wouldn't slam the door in his face. It was a screen door. It was more like shutting a screen door. And so he invited us to come down in October and just consult and meet with the musicians and see what's going on here. And after the weekend, well, Deborah and I actually just got on the plane feeling a combination of confusion, not worry, but a little bit of healthy anxiety because we were really touched being here. We left here very blessed, very encouraged, and wondering why the Lord would give us two really good things on our platform. We've had seasons in our marriage where we didn't know one month to the next how we were going to make ends meet. We didn't know what the Lord was going to have for us when one job was really crumbling. And here we are blessed with two amazing opportunities. So we began praying and seeking the Lord's wisdom, seeking guidance, talking to mentors, talking to family and friends who are in sort of an inner circle, asking, what should we do? What would you do? And the Lord made it clear that we were to come here. And it was a clear decision that things didn't have to be bad in one place to come to another. And I want you to hear my heart when I say we're not running from something, we are running to something. And that's important to know, that we're not here because I'm worried about my job in Chicago. We're not. We're not picking up and moving away from all of our family and all of our friends because we need to make ends meet. It has nothing to do with it. If Lexington wasn't in the picture, we'd be wondering what to do. So this is of the Lord, and we feel this is very providential, and we look forward to beginning our relationship in that healthy way. This is not, okay, fine, we can do it now. This is, hey, we want to be a part of this community. We want to see what the Lord is doing in Lexington and through Tate's Creek. And this was a church that showed, hey, we want to be influential in the city of Lexington. We don't want to just grow for the sake of growth. We don't want to have inward church. We don't want to be just do this on Sunday mornings and check it off the list and go home. We want to be a part of the community. And that's what Deborah and I feel as well as it relates to ministry, as it relates to our personal mission statement as a family, as a couple. Tate's Creek fits in to the letter with our mission statement as a couple. And that's important. So that's why we're here.
Cool. Let's talk worship. Music, I guess, specifically within worship. I guess maybe you and I have had so many talks about philosophy of music and worship, the unconventional vision that I've always had for worship. And you and I, you know, when I talk to you, not only does it resonate, you end up articulating it better than I have. So, you know, you've led worship at mega churches. You've been a director of music at a church much bigger than ours. Enormous resources. What would Stonebridge be? Would it be more kind of a traditional setting than our, like that?
I would say.
Yeah.
Stonebriar was a, what was unique about Stonebriar is that the music was different every Sunday. One Sunday was orchestra, the next Sunday was handbells, the next Sunday was piano, the next Sunday was contemporary. Now it's moved to entirely traditional worship. But I've served at large churches. I've served at very, very small churches.
And across the spectrum, meaning you obviously have the classical expertise. I mean, you write all your arrangements. You creatively do that, and you can work with musicians that. That are trained in that way, can speak that language, and they really resonate with you. But you also have an ability to work with someone who's, you know, self-taught and idiot like me, and maybe not me, but
I'm going to filter that snarky comment right.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. I just, you know, I've talked to you about the diversity of our church, you know, with a beautiful, robust tradition that we love and want to retain, and then also growth with college students and young adults, and wanting to expand our repertoire and stuff like that, and maybe just put words to it better than I can of your philosophy of music and worship.
Yeah. I love blending, as Robert alluded to, I love blending different talent levels, different spiritual places in life on one team, because that's what the body of Christ is made up of. That is what we have gathered as a group, and that's what we look like. Some of us are seasoned Christians. Some of us are seasoned musicians, can read every note that's in the hymnal. Some of us don't have any idea what it means. And so I want the team that's up here to reflect that, and there's strength and a beautiful unity that is created when we have different abilities on one platform and in the body of Christ worshiping together. Worship to me, in my opinion, as a body of believers, what we do on Sunday morning is the single most important thing we'll do all week as it relates to our faith, is that is admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Doing this as a body, doing this as a family. I don't want church to be my private moment with Jesus in the dark. I don't want us to turn the lights out and have a smoke machine and have that. I don't want us to artificially manufacture emotions. To me, if we are trying to guide you to a specific emotion, we're missing the point. The emotion is important, but it's as a result of what God has done in our hearts. And that can be done with anything. That can be done with someone standing up here with a drum, with someone standing up here with a trombone, with the organ and the piano, with the choir. It can be done with anything. If the Lord stirs something in your heart because of what he's done in your life, that is what brings about the emotion. So my aim is not to tell you how to worship. My aim is not to tell you, now you should feel this emotion during this song, or I'm going to do it this way so that you do this. I want to help foster an environment where the text is articulated, the melody is as easy to sing as possible for the majority of people. And if you think about it, if all we had, if there was no sermon, if there was nothing else but us showing up and singing on Sunday morning, would you be better in your faith for it? When you walk out of this door, would you be able to articulate your faith because of the music that we sing? And if the answer is yes, then we're doing it right. If the answer is no, then we revisit it. And the music portion of a church service is the most preference-oriented place that there is. And I'll tell you right now, I won't make everyone happy all the time. But as you saw this morning, sort of the guiding lights of this morning's intention was this. And I shared this with our team before we got going. Was I wanted to do, albeit it was a little fast, How Firm a Foundation as a traditional hymn that you know, but we've just added a little oomph to it. And we'll slow it down for the second service. introduce a modern hymn. Yet not I, but through Christ in me was written 2 years ago. So introduce a modern hymn, but not one that blows you out of the water. One that you can sing. One that you can go home and take with you through the week. And then give you something very, if you want to use the word traditional, great. But something very traditional. Something easy. Something attainable. But we're still adding a little bit to it. And that's my philosophy. I don't have a desire to come in and revolutionize the world here. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I just want to shine it up a bit, you know, and maybe add a few spokes. That's what I'm interested in doing. That's as far as I can take the analogy before I get confused. But it's, I want us to feel comfortable with the mechanics of worship so our hearts are uncomfortable, if that makes sense.
That doesn't make sense. Say that again.
What I want us to do is, as we are singing, and I want the simple mechanics of singing and getting melody, I want that to be easy so that the truth penetrates our hearts. If we're struggling to sing a melody and it's not being led well and we're wondering what comes next, what notes are next, or this is too high or this is too low, that's what you're thinking about. That's what you're thinking about. So we're going to work really hard as a team to choose music that is singable, that is easy melodically, easy to harmonize on, if that is of your, if you're skilled in harmonizing, so that the truths penetrate your heart. We want to leave here with a healthy diet every week and throughout the year and throughout the decade of, I mean, if I haven't gotten fired by then, through a healthy diet of strongly rooted tradition and strongly rooted modern hymnody with good variety with instruments, and each week it might have a different flavor to it, not staggeringly different, but there will be variety, and there will be Sundays where you leave and go, I don't know about that guy. You might be sitting here right now thinking, I don't know about that guy, but know that this is my heart. This is my heart, and I welcome conversations. I welcome opinions. I welcome concerns. This is not a dictatorship. This is not a monologue. This is a dialogue. So please talk to me. Please get to know me. Please get to know my philosophy. And you won't see it rolled out in one Sunday or two Sundays or even 6 months of Sundays. It's a slight cultural shift. It's a slight change in the center of gravity of what you might be used to. And that takes time and it takes trust. So.
All right, time out. I just heard you say something I want you to go on record with. So you're saying if they have opinions about music and worship, they are not to be directed at me, they are to be directed at you. Is that what I just heard you say?
It depends on if they're angry. No, I welcome it. I think it's important to know this. It's a good idea to do it thoughtfully too. And if I can, without knowing you too well, take a risk here and teach for a brief moment. As a member of a body of Christ, if you have a concern, approach the leadership thoughtfully. Approach the leadership kindly. Take a moment and breathe and think about which hill you're on. Is this a kingdom impact concern? Is this a personal preference? And approach it that way. I've been left anonymous notes at the piano 5 minutes before service at another church that said, you are dragging this church into the pits.
Was that this morning?
Did you? This morning.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was Leanne. But no, but I mean, this, you got to understand what the way that happens. I mean, but please understand, my door is open, and the only way I'm going to do this well is if I truly understand you and understand your needs and your strengths and your weaknesses and build everything up, give you the courage to sing with confidence. We'll be doing a cappella singing. We will be doing music that might be a stretch, but I'm going to really try and teach it to you carefully and thoughtfully and give you time to feel successful. Because the moment we don't feel successful, we stop. And we sit there and we're angry. And we're distracted because we don't know it. And what is this song? And why can't we just sing How Great Thou Art? And it's a distraction. You leave here frustrated. I'd rather you leave here frustrated in your heart that you need to run harder after God than sitting here frustrated because you didn't know the songs. So please come talk to me.
In light of that, getting to know us, I think one of the things that I've loved about you is one of the reasons why you're coming here is you see potential. I mean, you explicitly said, my goodness, the team that you already have and the musicians in this congregation and in the city, the potential of what this could become. I'd love for them to hear that heart because, you know, I mean, we've got an amazing choir. We've got an amazing organist. We've got Deb and Suzanne doing their thing. And I want them to hear you saying that's attractive to you.
This is a really unique place. And you need to understand that I've been all over the country, all over the world and seeing churches. And what you have, what we have at Tate's Creek is unique. It just is. We are poised for what I believe is going to be the trend in church music. It's turning around. It's turning back around. And I see younger and younger generations wanting this look. And I think that's important. And I got to say, the search has been on for a number of years. And when I came here in October, one of the most moving things was to see the endurance that Deb and Chelsea and the others have and Jane have led with. I mean, they are right to be utterly burned out. They have every right to be frustrated and burnt out. And if they are, they're not showing it. But they led and they have kept this alive in a way that you wouldn't find this anywhere else. And so what we have at Tate's Creek between our choir, our organ, our piano, our room, the breadth of musicians in this city, we are ready to go make an impact in Lexington, in Kentucky, in America, in the world, and show the capital C church, hey, this is what can happen in church music when we pull together, when we embrace the good of the new and the good of the old, and the total is greater than the sum of its parts. So that's one thing I'm very excited about. In standing up here and leading, there's an element of trust. When you're a music director, there's an element of trust that takes place when you put music or ideas in front of worship leaders and you say, this is my vision, go and do so. I'm not babysitting up here. It's wonderful. I'm allowing my vocalist to harmonize and giving them guidance and allowing Jane to really turn up. And I'm allowing the musicians to be who they are with the creative gifts God has given them. And that is unique. And I'm excited about what can happen here, what can happen to our hearts and strengthening those hearts to want to go and tell the world about Jesus.
Amen. What did you mean when you said you feel like the trend in worship is changing?
Just from what I've seen, what I've observed, Robert and I met through a Facebook group called the Liturgy Fellowship, which is about 8,000 worship leaders and pastors around the world who share ideas. And as I watch trends and study the different churches that are a part of that group, from every walk of faith, from every denomination and style, it's interesting to see who is asking for what. And as I've observed young people in churches and older people alike, the desire for the clarity of the gospel in song. And so I believe we are moving away from songs that are just emotionally charged, songs that are talking about the things that I do and my response and what I am feeling and what I am currently doing, and more about what did God do? What did Jesus do on the cross? Let's sing constantly about that. Let's sing our prayers. Let's sing the gospel every Sunday. Let's sing the entirety of the gospel every Sunday. Let's sing of the great truths, not just our happy or sad response to something. That's for our private devotional time. The I music should largely be saved for when you are I in your car, in your living room, and the we, Lord doing what he's doing in our lives. That is our congregational worship, and I believe the trend is turning back towards that. Modern hymn writers are writing more music based on the gospel and the truths of the gospel and articulating that clearly. It never gets old, and it should never get old. So we're going to sing it over and over again.
So as you're filtering through modern hymnody,
No,
I got it. As you're filtering through modern hymnody, Is that, would you say that's the filtering system, is the lyrical content? But I'm assuming also the music as well. I mean, they got to fit. But, you know, there's so much stuff being written. There's so much, quote unquote, contemporary stuff out there. How do you filter through and say that fits with what we're doing?
Listening to you, studying the way you sing, listening to how you respond. Are you a high singing church? Are you a low singing church? So that helps me know, wow, this song is really all over the place. I might not choose this song because it's just too high, and if we lower it, well, now we're just too low. Or I might look at the text and go, okay, is this a well-written song? And yes, you can decide if something is well-written or not. It's not just all subjective. You can really study the way a song is written. How do they pair lyrics with text? Did they force the issue on either side, or were they thoughtful in how they crafted a song? There are bad hymns in our hymnal. I'm just going to say it. It's not a holy book. There are
Wait,
hymns.
The Trinity hymnal is not inspired.
Pack my boxes now. And there's you just need to filter through everything and study the way we sing as a group. And are we able to, by and large, all sing this together? And you study how, I mean, psychologically too, and this is not 100% across the board, but women are more likely to just go for it and really try. Men, the minute they feel an opposition musically, they bail. We just do. We tend to not really stick the fight out. I want to listen to how are our men singing? What will build up that sound? Not leaving the women out of it, but because I know they will really carry us. But I want the men to sing. I want the men, the male leadership of this church, to also feel empowered and in song. I want our women to feel empowered in song. And so knowing where each sing and then how we all sing together is really important. And then how do you arrange it? How do you arrange it so that throughout a song you have momentum from verse to verse, from element of service to element of service, thinking through introductions? The little instrumental things we do between verses is not so you can stand there and watch us play. It's not designed to show off. This isn't a talent show. And we'll teach this. We're going to sing some songs, some hymns that are so texturally rich, you need a moment to think it through. So there are going to be times of instrumental music that you're not singing, but you're not just to sit here and watch us play, but process what's going on. We'll incorporate the reading of scripture through music, through some of those instrumental times, because there are scriptures that coincide. Hopefully a lot of these songs were written with the Bible wide open on the desk. So let's read through those scriptures together. Let's involve you in that as well. And so it takes a lot of work. It takes time. It's not an overnight thing, but that is the heart behind it.
And speaking of how we sing, another thing I would like for them to hear from you is when you came here, one of your big takeaways and one of the things that attracted you to TCPC was not just the musicians, but the congregation and their.
Yeah, it was staggering to listen to you sing, on Holy, Holy, Holy when we were here in October, to listen to you sing today on Rejoice the Lord is King. And what is a true testament to the volunteer and to the volunteer leadership and those who have really stepped up in the last several years is that you just do it. You need to understand that with poor musical leadership in this interim period, you would have just stood there on Rejoice Lord is King today and watched me go to town, for better or for worse. But you knew to keep singing and to actually raise your voice. Your volume got louder on that a cappella stanza, as it should, because you can hear yourself. And when you hear yourself, you realize you're valued. And you realize that I need to own this. It's like giving. If you just let the plate pass, how is it going to happen? If we just let the musical plate pass, how is it going to happen? So we need to own it and lift our voices together.
All right. We could dialogue about this all day.
Let's do it.
No, we got another service. Maybe just an end. It sounds like when we hear you talk, we get excited about, wow, come in here, lead us. These are all exciting ideas. We look forward to seeing how you would develop our worship. But I think one thing that is just obvious from the get-go is you are new to the PCA. This is your first position in the PCA, correct?
Second,
okay. Well, you're newer to the PCA. You've been across other traditions, and I think one thing that is obvious to us all right off the bat is that there's an infusion of passion. Motion, you lead passionately. And, you know, some here love that. I love that. From our frozen chosen Presbyterian tradition, thawing out a little bit, you know, that's something I'd love for you to speak of. Just the role of, I don't think anybody has a problem with me standing in this pulpit and passionately, with emotion, proclaiming the gospel. When it comes to music, you know, some of us like, whoa, because of our tradition. So maybe speak to that.
I'll say this. I don't know what I look like when I'm up here.
You look like you're into it.
These aren't things I've practiced in front of a mirror. I really don't. The few times I've seen myself on video, it's like hearing yourself on an answering machine. You just run for the hills. What I said when we opened up here, worship is a response to what the Lord has done in your life. And, when I sing a hymn like Yet Not I'm reminded of what the Lord has done in my life and how he turned my life around and how he turns my life around daily. And that fuels every fiber of my being. And it fuels every fiber of my being when I'm making music, whether it's instrumental or I'm at the piano. It just does. And it's not an attempt to be on display. It's not anything I want to teach musicians how to do. We all worship how we worship. I see people out here raising their hands. It's okay. You don't have to get a holster for it and tuck it away. I mean, it's okay. But when you allow the realization of what the Lord has done in your life to transform your worship, you start hearing these songs differently. And so I'm aware through various sources that I tend to get into it a little bit, this piano. I'm a drummer, so I play the piano like a drummer. You know, hearing Matt today, and hearing Deb and Jane, you guys are used to real pianists, and I just play loud, and it covers a multitude of sins. you know, it's but that's the passion of what the Lord has done in my life. That is manifesting itself through worship. And I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. I do try to play a little softer because we don't want to tune the piano every 2 months. But that is that end.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Deborah, Stephen, we are so excited for what the Lord has done. Yeah. And we cannot wait to get you here full time and look forward to what the Lord is going to do as you continue to teach us how to sing, which is a noble calling. So
thank you for welcoming us, and
yeah,
appreciate it.
Everybody come to the concert tonight, even if you don't get jazz.
And Chelsea and Leanne are singing
tonight.
So come hang out and support them too.
Yeah, so even if you don't like him, come for Leanne.
Come for us, stay for them.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Hey, let me pray, and we've got literally 8 minutes before we get going. Father, we are overwhelmed, and you are good. And I just pray that all of us would come around, Stephen and Deborah, and that they would feel the love of Jesus Christ through this body. Teach us to sing. Improve our worship. This is what we were made to do. And we pray that you would use this brother and all the musicians that you have brought to us to lead us well. In Jesus' name, amen.